So this place here that we've come to is known as Prem Sarovara. And as you see, it's not very far from Varshana. We came on the road only about 4 minutes to here. And this is a very special esoteric place, actually, because the pastime that took place here that gave birth to this Sarovara was one where Radha and Krishna were swinging together. They were together on a swing, swinging backwards and forwards very sweetly. And Madhu Mangal was there. And as you know, Madhu Mangal, he tends to be very humorous in Krishna's pastimes. So he saw a black bee that had come flying in from somewhere, and it was coming very close to trying to touch the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So when he saw the bee, he decided that the bee should be shifted. So he took his cloth and he shooed the bee away. And Radha and Krishna are still very sweetly swinging together. And then he said very proudly and loudly, he said, "Ah, I have chased Madhu away." So Madhu is a name for a bee, and of course Madhu is also a name for Krishna. So when Srimati Radharani, sitting right beside Krishna, heard this, that he has chased Madhu away, she began to cry and cry and cry. Oh, Madhu has gone. And when Krishna saw her ecstatic mood of separation, he's sitting right there beside her, he became so deeply moved also in love that he began to cry. And the combination of their tears together, their tears of love, entered into this Sarovara, and therefore it is called Prem Sarovara. And the first time I heard this story was in 1986 on the very first Brajmandal Parikrama. We had come, we had walked from Varshana to here, and we were all seated. And I remember at that time that Varshana is a very jolly, happy place. And for somebody who's like myself, a young, immature devotee, I had become in a jolly mood, and then I perceived not only jolly, but a little frivolous. And as soon as you become frivolous in Vrindavan, which happens quickly to many of us, you lose the contact, the connection is broken. So I was walking from Varshana and I was thinking to myself, how to get back that gravity, that centeredness, that feeling of the magnificent transcendental nature of the Dham. And we came here and we heard this story. And then the devotee who was telling us about Prem Sarovara, he said, "Now," and maybe we can do this also, he said, "you should go down very, very carefully, very, very reverentially, and you should place some liquid Prem drops upon your head, and you should pray that some lifetime, he said, many lifetimes from now, I may be able to understand this particular pastime." So if you are trying to enter into this esoteric sweetness of Vrindavan and find yourself a little impeded, this is a wonderful place to come, because you can pray here and place this water on the head, and it has a very remarkable effect. It is Prem Sarovara. And this particular mood is called Prem Vaichitra, when Radha and Krishna are together, but together, even together, Radharani is feeling the separation of Krishna. So this, of course, is a very deep subject. We won't enter into at this time. But this place is of deep, deep, deep special significance, and it's a very rich spiritual place. So please, if everyone can take a little water on their heads and pray in that special way, that somehow many lifetimes it may take, I may attain some insight into this very extraordinary mood of prayer. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, So now we will very carefully proceed to our Naam Kunja. You have to enter very respectfully and find yourself a tree under which you can sit. Vrindavan had these trees and these gardens where the divine couple Radha and Krishna would meet. And we will go into one of these gardens now. And be very respectful. I hope you are solidly washed by the water from the lake of tears. And we will now proceed.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shrimati Radha Rani ki, Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Shri Prem Sarovara ki Gau Premanandi Adi Adi Bo.
Before we start with this first workshop of our Japa retreat, we would request you to make a little exercise which helps you to arrive at the place, not only in your body, but also in your minds. Please, for a moment, become aware of the surroundings in which you are. Look around. The exercise is also to become aware of the sounds. Please don't only write the tractor sound. Maybe a Hindi-speaking person can maybe inspire the farmer to work at another place. Is it? It's a pump, a water pump. Good. It might be for only a short time. So, your task is to write down in the style of free writing your impressions as you are here. Impressions are made through the senses, through the eyes, through the nose. You might smell something. I certainly smell the garland of Shyama Sundar. The different sounds, the feelings, the texture of the earth, and so on. Some of you might have been like I was before a few hours. You might think, well, I'm not a writing person. I hardly write a letter once at Christmas to those I absolutely have to write a letter to. See, the thing really is not about writing. The thing is, the exercise is not really a writing exercise. It's a be here now exercise, if you so wish. And the medium of writing helps your concentration to focus. So we will have 5 minutes for this. Your work will be now is very easy. You just register your surroundings and also maybe your responses, your emotional responses, that is your feelings, and so on. Please start now. Before we start to chant our first installments of rounds together, we would just like to tell you a little bit on faith as the beginning state, the beginning or the starting point of our transcendental journey. Please, as you are here with us, take care that you are always in a shaded place, or that you put something over your head. Faith really comes when you have sambandha gyan, or the knowledge of your relationship to Krishna, feel that relationship. See, Krishna can only be understood and known through a relationship, not in any other way. Just like you have understood many things about the persons with whom you are together by a relationship with them, so you will have to go about your faith with acting in a relationship with Krishna. This Japa retreat hopefully will increase your faith in Krishna because we will chant his holy names a lot. Faith also comes through a teacher or through Sadhu Sangha, a living person who gives an example and who gives some words of wisdom to you. But ultimately, faith comes through an experience. Once Gurudas asked Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk that how do I know that Krishna is God? And Prabhupada's answer was, well, if you serve him, you feel blissful. That's how you know, and ecstatic. So this faith, wherever it comes from, is a prerequisite for you to really hear the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the 10th chapter says something about faith. Yahara hridaye shradhana haila udaya nama nahi shune bahimuka durashaya. The wretched creature in whose heart faith has not arisen does not really hear the holy name, for he has turned away from the Lord. Such a person has no qualification for chanting the holy name, for the essence of Vaishnav teaching is that only faith makes us worthy. High birth, noble relations, knowledge, strength, education or wealth confer no special right to enter into the mysteries of the holy name. Only one who has unshakable faith in the glories of the holy name will always show full faith in the verdict of the scriptures. This faith means to believe that by doing nothing more than taking shelter of Krishna, one has already done all the good deeds or religious acts one needs to do. One who does not have such faith lacks the necessary qualifications to chant the holy name. So we will chant now the holy name, and as you are chanting, as you enter into the chanting, please always try to connect to Krishna. That what this means is, you chant and you make yourself aware that you are chanting Krishna's holy name. The Krishna is a person, and by doing this little exercise, chanting with the understanding of relationship and having that either theoretical faith that you are now connecting or relating to Krishna, you will be with Krishna. This will be your exercise now. This will give you the right to enter into higher levels of chanting. Please let us now let us chant together in each other's very favorable association. So you please chant with a feeling of relationship. This is very easily done by meditating that you are addressing Krishna. Prabhupada used to say, give us the mood in which we should chant with a relationship and with full faith. He said, what? Like a small child who addresses the mother. No? This has two aspects. A sense of relationship and faith. The child is very faithful. Mother, mother. We will do this for half an hour. And I will... Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna. we will continue to chant together. But for those of you who would like to know, I mean, all of us will like to know where the journey is going. Our first step was into the land of faith, huh? You can, when you want to improve your chanting, work on your faith. See, with this japa retreat or japa workshops which we do on the retreats, we will give you some ideas which you can take home with you. So please, while you are at home, make your life a life of faith. Read more about the Holy Name. Read about or listen to lectures which establish you in your sense of sambandha, your relationship with Krishna. Use that relationship knowledge when you go and sit down for your japa. Remember that you are now calling Krishna, or that you are spending time with Radha and Krishna, Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna. Have association with faithful devotees, and be a little bit more open to this idea of retreats, the things which you learn here, because it's ultimately the experience which will help you to go deeper in your Shraddha. Now, I would like to do a little kirtan with you, and then I will give you. Then we will move to the next stage in our chanting. If we can do what we want to do, we will end at meditating about Krishna. So, this is kirtan or singing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known not as the father of the japa, but of the sangatan movement. The chanting together with devotees is a very powerful way to absorb our consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is really all about absorption of our consciousness. Sanatana Goswami has written a very nice appraisal of the power of kirtan, or singing together. He wrote, "Krishna, you slip out of the threads of hearing. You know, we try to hear, and by this hearing, we use something like a thread. Well, this is a very sturdy thread. By the way, these are the is a flower bouquet held by Srimati Radharani, which has come for all of you as her sign from the Spirit of Earth. She threw it down this morning so that we know we are blessed by this flower bouquet. She has recognized we are here, we want her and her Lord Krishna. So she has thrown us her flowers. Hare Krishna. So you slip out of the threads of hearing, isn't it? We sometimes hear the holy name and then shup, Krishna is already gone. Then you are again caught by the ropes of remembering. You know, when we chant, then all of a sudden we feel a little bit, oh, Krishna is not there in my chanting, but we remember Krishna. And we remember something which we have heard. We remember maybe a leela. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described how a devotee in Vrindavan chants, and all of a sudden he remembers how Krishna is just coming out of his hiding place and comes to the yogurt pot. Here's the yogurt pot which Krishna has broken. Taras, please bring it to us that we can see it. And then he stealthily steals the yogurt from that yogurt pot. And then the old lady who prepares yogurts and milk, she shouts, "Hey, thief, thief, thief! where have you come from it? Why do you steal this now? Give it back.
Oh, be careful with your... Did you... Oh, Krishna. You're really an expert. See, you can see from the whiteness, there was some yogurt inside. It's stolen. Hey, you thief, thief, thief! Come! Krishna is very much afraid, and he runs away, and then the person who does japa, he sees this, he remembers Krishna for a brief while like this, but then again, Krishna escapes from the ropes of his remembering. But then Sanatana Goswami gives us the final chains how to catch Krishna. Finally, you are captured by the iron chains of Sankirtan. Now where will you go? Now where I'm full of bhakti by singing your holy name, I will never let you go again. This is how there is a progression in absorption. And we have our this year's retreat melody for you. It's a melody where devotees commented it sounds like calling out for Krishna, crying for Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
In his manual, Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings us to the next step. He said he compares the chanting of the, or he compares the Lord Krishna with the sun. You can look at the sun and get an impression of his picture. And he says that there are three stages of chanting. First is the chanting with offenses where the Lord is not manifested. It's called Nama Aparat. The sun has not even risen. The second is the stage where one sincerely tries to avoid the offenses. One chants with faith. It is called Nama Basa. And the third is Shuddhanam, where one chants with a pure love for Krishna. Now, we all don't... I think here are no Nam Aparadis in this retreat. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come here and paid the money to make this journey to Vrindavan. So I will not talk about Nam Aparad because it's not relevant for you. I feel here are Nambasis. That means
we all are trying to come to the stage where we can see the son of the, or feel the son of the holy name. It's called the Shuddhanam. Sometimes this we can't see today because the sun is fully visible. The sun is covered with the clouds, or also in the morning, that we could see, the sun is covered by the mist. The mist, which covers, or the fog, you could say, is the ignorance which covers the living entity. It's an ignorance which we have about our own position, about Krishna's position, and also an ignorance about Maya's position. We don't. Prabhupada said, my only difficulty or accusation against you is that you are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. So this sometimes this mist of ignorance covers us on the Nambasa stage, the second stage where the son of the holy name is not fully manifest. But there's also clouds which cover the pure name. And the clouds are three things. Asat, Trishna, hankering for illusory things. Hridaya Sudolaba, Hridaya Dolaba, which means a weakness of the heart. It's like enviousness and fault finding. And the third component of the cloud which covers the pure name is Aparadhas. Please think for a moment. Do you sometimes hanker for illusory things? A new car, a new pen, a new watch, maybe a position. I want to be temple commander. Huh? Or in, we have Dharmagupta amongst us, who is one of the leaders of the congregational preaching in Croatia, a high position. So Asat Trishna, the thirst for material things which are really not in for bhakti, that is a cloud. I have a lot of that, Asat Trishna, unfortunately. My own Asat Trishna is, I'm interested in almost everything. Hankering for illusory things, books, new ideas, and so on and so forth. If we are not careful, then such clouds are coming between us and Krishna. Or Hridaya Dolaba, Dobalya. Especially when you sit together with many people, then some enviousness may come. Oh, this devotee has a better shaded place. I am now in the sun. Why always this devotee gets the best shade? And, you know, this is a weakness of the heart. This is an innocent weakness, but it comes. Or fault finding, this is not right, that is not right, the prasadam was too spicy or not enough spicy. And then aparad. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that even if a devotee is still to some degree covered with the fog and the clouds of material life, still, the holy name, which is chanted on the covered stage, or you could say Nambasa stage, although it is not fully manifest, the holy name is unlimitedly auspicious. Some things are mentioned. the Nambasa men or woman who chants on this stage will be protected against the evil influence of stars. If he just chants, even though he may still be material attached, some protection against evil stars is there. Also, against diseases. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur did not spend in his ashrams money for the doctor, because he said, if you chant at least on the Namabhasa stage, the auspicious result is that you are free from diseases. Hare Krishna. In my book, the Gayatri book, you will find some meditations which are there in Shastra, that if you chant, you can be free from diseases. And I'm describing an experience which I had made. I was once on the Himalaya journey, and I was all alone walking through the mountains and fell down. You know, I had not looked properly, and I fell for 3 meters. And I had this feeling, this uneasy feeling, that I had torn my ligaments. I have done this once, and I know how it feels. Because I landed with a foot in a bad position, and then I said, "Oh Krishna, I'm." The devotees have gone already in front. They don't know where I am. I really need good ligaments to get to the next destination. Can I please chant the Gopal Gayatri now with this meditation which is given in Shastra that it's against diseases, huh? Then I didn't wait for a clear answer. I just did it, and I could walk very swiftly afterwards. So, yes, we don't want to stay on the Namabhasa platform, but the Namabhasa platform, it says 37. There are different auspicious results which a chanter can have, and you will now hear some. The semblance of the name, it's not, you know, the sun is still covered, so it's only a semblance. Semblance means a likeness of the name, protects one from all disease. All worries are subdued by even a semblance of the holy name. One who chants the semblance of the name is free from all fear and distress. Demons, ghosts, goblins, and witches, wicked creatures of all sorts, are kept at bay, that means at a distance, by the influence of Namabhasa, as are all other obstacles. I think from this description it is clear that if you can chant on the platform of Namabhasa, where you chant with faith, and try to avoid the offenses, a very, very high result is already waiting for you. And I would now like to give you some positive attitudes which you can adopt, some very strong processes which you can adopt against the aparadas. See, at the beginning stages of chanting Hare Krishna, and we should always, in this, at least in this retreat, think ourselves in the beginner's mind. We have to really work very hard on giving up the offenses, the aparad stage, so that we come to the Namabhasa stage, where we can experience all the auspicious results of the holy name, which make our path clear to Krishna, which clear us from worries and distress and these unfortunate attachments. So a devotee who who chants with faith must work very diligently on the 10 offenses. Now, I personally, have been called by some very high class devotees anattapad. That means the person who talks so much about anattas and aparadhas and so on. And they have told me that if you always talk about the bad things without talking about the antidotes, you reinforce the bad things. I do remember once having given a lecture in Heidelberg about the miseries of sex. I talked very forcefully about it. And I gave my best. I was a fanatic brahmachari. I had many arguments. Everything was in this lecture. Diseases, psychological quarrels, because of the exploitive spirit which is associated with this practice, etc., etc. There were students in the class, and I, after the class, I wanted to get some feedback. Now, how did you think the class was? And this one student said to me, "You talked so much about sex, all I can think of now is making sex." Really? That was not the intended outcome, the learning aim of the class. But this student taught me a lesson. When you are so much involved with the bad things in your life, don't commit Vaishnava aparad and so on, you will do it because the brain remembers Vaishnava aparad. When you think negatively about something, you think about it. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the 13th chapter of Harinam Chintamani, I must explain it a little bit better. But I want to say, it's not enough to just think about how what we should not do. We should have a positive attitude. When you, for instance, commit an offense to the saintly, then you should touch that devotee's feet in a spirit of repentance. And weeping, you should say, "Prabhu, forgive me my offense. And even though I'm a wicked blasphemer, give me your Vaishnav blessings." See, when you want to get out of the nam apparat, you have to go and diligently work on in a positive way about the terrible results of nam apparat, so that the clouds and the fog go from the holy name. It said, the second offense, you should adopt the pure understanding that Vishnu is the supreme truth. It's very important when you chant, you should make in your mind the firm resolution, I'm chanting the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the third attitude you should accept is, you should accept your guru and the scriptures that promote the holy name as topmost. This is another attitude you should take on. Then the next is, when you are thinking about the holy name, you should not have an interpretive mind, but you should think the holy name is completely pure and spiritual. I'm approaching the holy name. He is completely pure and spiritual. You know, when you are meeting a person and going into the presence of the person,
you prepare yourself, isn't it, before you go into the door of a higher devotee, before you knock on the door. In your mind you think, oh, this is such a wonderful devotee, and I will now visit him. So in the same way, when you knock on your bibek, then meditate in your heart that the holy name which you will now chant is completely pure and spiritual. In this way you will give up interpretations. Then it said, sometimes devotees, the offense is there that one chants the holy name, but with the motive to just eradicate the effects of one's material life. Oh, I have done so much nonsense, I better chant now. And this is something which implicates the soul in very, very big ways. Because if you still remain connected with your material desires and material attachments, which are like anchors to the material world, how can you ever step forward? So this offense is overcome by the positive attitude to attentively discard all our sinful motivations and the seed of sin. Then another mistake which will make you a nama aparadi and keep you in the first, imprisoned in the first category, is if you preach the glories of the pure holy names to those who do not possess faith. It's very interesting how Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this. He says, we can chant the holy name so that we purify the audience and the listener and bring them to a certain platform, but we do not talk about the confidential subject matters. Now, those who are gurus and who have disciples who have given up their practice, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, who had faith in the beginning but then have become faithless, say the guru should immediately go into the assembly of Vaishnavas and discard publicly that disciple who has become faithless, because if he doesn't do so, he becomes implicated in the offense of giving the most pure things to the impure. The guru, for instance, who accepts people who and initiates them in the holy name who do not have faith, is an offender against the holy name. If he would do this, then that will bring him down. If he does this, if he accepts too many disciples, and maybe on the basis of that they have money or influence and so on and so forth, or he may have a motivation, that's not good. And if the disciple has become faithless, he must discard the disciple. That is explained in that. Then one should give up entirely all ritualistic pious activities. And then one should meditate about the holy name without being distracted, taking full shelter. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, it's not enough to simply give up committing the 10 offenses. Each one of these offenses implies a particular positive injunction. The prohibitions given in the teachings of the 10 aparads a way of instructing us in these to positively implement the specific saintly qualities that render the apparatus impossible. These verses summarize these positive injunctions. So I went very quickly through this, but I would like to suggest that you give to Prashanta an email list, and I could write to you on the email these positive things. In fact, I'm doing this in many of my japa retreats. I give a summary what I wanted to teach, and it can be sent out on email. And if you don't have an email, you can connect yourself with a person who has an email, and then that email person can print out my summary for you and send it to you by conventional snail mail. I'm learning all these new words. Now, I wanted to go fastly through this. Because I quickly want to chant with you in a particular way. In Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has talked a lot about the offense or the hela. Hela is carelessly, to chant carelessly. And he has taken up this point again as pramada, chanting inattentively. He says that some people give up all other offenses, but Krishna prema is not coming to them. Why is this so? And he says, it is so because... 157. Because one is inattentive and the mind goes off while one chants. Who has this problem? Oh, then I thought this is a good subject matter. Now he analyzes three reasons why we become inattentive and the mind switches off. But before I tell you these three reasons and what you can do to counteract them, I would like to just tell you something. When the mind switches off, you actually do not participate any longer in what is going on around you. I'm trying to now find a devotee who has fallen asleep. But unfortunately, every one of you is awake. You smile with a glance of great accomplishment. But say in theory, Gaurahari would have gone out of this class by sleeping. He would not have much benefit, really, he would not notice what is going on. So that when the mind is so careless and goes off, then you cannot have any benefit of the spiritual practice. There are different reasons why the mind goes off. One reason is apathy. It just doesn't touch you. It's not for you. This apathy is very, very difficult to give up, because it's almost like a decision. No, I'm not interested in this. The reason for this apathy which we have is because we are attached to sense objects. We are more interested in flirting with the objects of the senses than in establishing a relationship to Krishna. We have a taste really for something else, and that's why we are indifferent
So what you should do is to counteract apathy. Do you all understand what is apathy? The Croatian devotees? How do we say in Croatian, Krishna Jivani, apathy? Indifference. It's like indifference. You should give up the sense objects, spend some time in the company of Vaishnavas, and chant the name in a secluded place. Gradually, if you do this, the holy name will take a permanent place in the chanter's mind. So you're doing actually a very important thing at the Japa retreat. You're depriving yourself from your comfortable American, Croatian, and German life. Congratulations, my dear devotees. You live in rustic accommodations. Our Umala, a very highly educated PhD, has come today on a fragrant motorcycle with a knight headdress. What is it? The helm, it's called, yes. She came with speed through the impossible roads of Braj. You came from Govardhan and you must the gravel roads, yes. Now, this is good, Omala. This also all our Matajis, Croatian Matajis, are using tons of schminka very often. Schminka is painting of the face in different shades and colors. Try to put the schminka away for some time. It will disconnect you from the material world. We should now not all look at the Croatian Matajis and make them embarrassed. Or our boys are used to very good food supplements, elks, tahin, and very good, comfortable snoring facilities. Now, be simple. Sit on the ground of Braj, Madhavendra Puri, make your white dhoti colorful with the colors of the dust of Braj. This is very important. It will help us to separate ourselves from this world. This is voluntary tapasya or hardship, which is like the sword of separation. It's very good. Give up sense objects and spend some time in the company of Vaishnavas. Yes, you have entered the kunj here. The Prem Naam Kunj. And chant the name in a secluded place. Then you will all of a sudden, you will feel that the holy name takes a place in your mind and sits there. Next point is lethargy. Lethargy is like laziness, huh? A lazy person can never relish the nectar of the holy name. He quickly gives up his efforts from getting to get a taste for the holy name. And the lazy person, although he's very lazy and inactive in spiritual life, he's extremely busy in materialistic life. Oh, he has not one mobile phone. He requires two mobile phones to quickly send out his messages of entanglement to the world. So What you should do against this laziness for spiritual life is you must search out devotees who do not waste their time with material activities, but who are very concentrated in their spiritual life and stay in their company. Then if you are in the company of such devotees who are lazy for material life, but very, very eager for spiritual life, then you will also become eager in your heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's the sadhu's nature to not misuse even a moment's time. When an aspirant is like a new person, sees such character, he's sure to be delighted by it. Have you ever seen, I have heard Jayananda Prabhu's glorification, he's an older Prabhupada disciple. I have heard that even people who came into his association who were materialistic and who saw his style of service, he would serve throughout the night sometimes, he would go and engage all the people on the market to give donations of food to the devotees. And he was highly active. They became infected and wanted to also do this. You will think when you are with such devotees, ah, when can I be like that great soul? When will I be fortunate enough to chant and remember Krishna like him? Such thoughts will bring enthusiasm into the mind of the lethargic or lazy aspirant and inspire him to rid himself of his laziness in remembering the names of the Lord. He will thus begin to resolve, today I will chant a lakh of names, that's 64 rounds, and it won't be long before I can meditate on 3 lakhs every day. Ananga Mohini, this was something for you. You will think in the association of devotees, today I will also chant 64 rounds and tomorrow I will chant more and after a few days I will chant 170 whatever. 192 rounds. You will feel like that. Tomorrow we will make an experience. We will chant in the association of Burijam Prabhu of 64 rounds and we will feel, this was nothing. We will chant more. There is an infectious quality in staying with devotees. It is said just like a sitar has resonance strings, we also have the quality to resonate to bhakti in our heart. And when we see another bhakta, then our own qualities for bhakti resonate. But it's very difficult sometimes to find these enthusiastic devotees. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the other and many shastras say we should find a devotee where we are 100% sure that he is pure. That is Tulasi Devi. Prabhupada also makes a point in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chant before Tulasi Devi. We hope that one day tomorrow on Vilasgar we can get a few Tulasi Devis by the mercy of the sadhus. Or we could go to Giriraj, the best of all devotees, and worship Giriraj, so that enthusiasm will come into our heart. Now the last obstacle is scattered mindedness. It's vikshepa. You could also call it distraction. Its source lies in the attachment to wealth and women, to victories which you have won or defeats which you have suffered. Scatter-mindedness lies in the desire for power and prestige, or from profits dishonestly gained. You know, these thoughts, wealth, or woman, or for the women it's men, which appear physically attractive, they have a tremendous pulling power. They are empowered by Maya Devi to pull the mind away from the spiritual platform. Or when you are in political endeavors and you are victorious, or you are defeated, that engages the mind. Or they said this bad thing about me, and so on. Desire for more power and prestige. All these things is making your mind scatterbrained. So when you have this distractedness with you, you must really make a concerted effort, a full effort, to take up a Vaishnava style of life. See, our Hare Krishna movement turns into more a congregational movement than a missionary movement. This is, by the way, happening to all major spiritual efforts in this world. People don't want to dedicate their life to just fulfill a mission. They want to feel, how does spirituality help me in my human experience? This is certainly has very good qualities, but there is also a danger that you lose a little bit the spiritual lifestyle, but you do what interests you in your life and add Krishna in it. Now, when you have your own life and then a little Krishna on the side, you will always be with your mind. That's the curse of this, or the bad thing in this, with all the many projects. In Germany we say, all the many pots which are cooking on the flames of your life. If you have a lifestyle which is not concentrated on Krishna, it will be very difficult for you to concentrate on your chanting. You will actually feel scatter-minded, scatter-brained. So, when you have this problem, you must take more to the Vaishnava style of life. No TV, no one-eyed guru, Hare Krishna. I used to say no movies, now I say only the good movies, because everyone would throw me out of ISKCON if I would say no movies. progression is taking care. But here in this kunch, I would say, please, you will lose that desire to hear the new interesting stories which are told in the movies. That's why they are so attractive, because they tell us stories which are more interesting than our own boring life. You will lose your attraction to these to the different varieties of material life. If you live a fulfilling spiritual life, you know, I, for instance, can't imagine that the normal German person has 4 hours of TV a day. Do you know this? And on weekends, 6 days. Imagine this. 6 hours. This is a normal German person. 6 hours of TV. But I remember when I was not in spiritual life, I would always study the TV journal and look for the interesting movies of, you know, going to Alaska. I liked Alaska movies with bears very much. Child. Or when is a good horror movie to stimulate myself a little bit in this boring school days. Now I can't imagine this lifestyle any longer. I have a fulfilling Vaishnav life, writing, sometimes preaching, sometimes eating prasadam, dancing, and then going to Vrindavan, going on a bicycle tour through Vrindavan, meeting interesting Vaishnavas, discussing things, how to return back to Godhead. Fill your life with spiritual things which are exciting for you, because you will pay such a heavy due when you distract your mind. Also the reading of books or novels or what else is a typical Hare Krishna activity which we don't talk about, a taboo. You know, doing these things, they will be in your mind all the time. And when it comes down to do your project of meeting with Krishna in the form of the holy name, you're so distracted, you just can't find any sense in it. So when you are distracted, observe holy days like Ekadasi, where you spend a longer time chanting the holy name in the company of devotees. This is a very, very good tip of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Why don't you take this advice and try it? That whenever an Ekadasi comes, plan your months a little bit that you have two Ekadasis where you just don't are so busy with your other things, but where you can chant extra rounds and so on. Because on Ekadasi, the benefit is more than on other days. It's more easy. Then have association with Krishna's servants and Krishna's scripture, and fearlessly immerse yourself in the blissful Ekadasi celebrations. Yes. But really, a very, very nice practice to give up the scatter-mindedness of the brain is to hear the songs of the great acharyas. I would like to just read to you one song. But before I do this, I would like to read Bhaktivinoda's tip to you. Then on listening to the songs of Krishna written by the Mahajans, one's ears and mind will be enchanted by the nectar. The inferior tastes of material sense enjoyment will then be dislodged and the mind fixed in the singing of the holy name. That is, my dear devotees, this is something I have also seen in my own spiritual life. When you chant these songs, some nectar comes into your life. Mahojwala. It just comes into your mind. You can just take your piece of karatals and you go Hari He Dayala Mora Jaya Radana Bara Bara E Bara Lani Dasata. Oh, it starts already, huh? Oh, Hari. O my merciful Lord of Radha, all glories to you. Again and again I have petitioned you, and now I'm begging you to accept me in your company. O my Master, after wandering through many species of life, I have come to you only. Out of your magnanimity, kindly deliver this degraded person. O Radharaman, you are the cause behind the creation and its very life. You are my only support. There's no one else. O Nata, you are the source of auspiciousness and the beneficent master of the three worlds. If you forsake me, then what will be my end? O Lord, I have come to the conclusion that in this material ocean there's no one else to deliver this servant but you. It's such devotional words. And when you hear such devotional words, your dry heart can also become imbued with devotion. It works immediately. Raghunath Das Goswami prays in his collection of songs that when will my mind ascend or get on the swift horse of Rupa Goswami's prayers and songs, this swift horse will quickly carry me to my beloved Radha and Krishna. If you move out of your own devotional strengths, it will be a little tiresome. But if you move with the devotional strengths of the acharyas who have written, who have poured out their hearts in these songs of devotion, then you will easily become enlivened and inspired. And the scattered mindedness, that foolish mind which connects us to material life, that will go away. Hare Krishna. Oh, there's another one which I wanted. Kavihyave nada samora Kaiyada sa vivida bandan. Oh, I would suggest we end the session by singing something together. Or would you like to do japa together? And then take some, then we will have a lunch break. What?
Singing.
We should sing. Tomorrow you will have no excuse. Krishna. What will we sing?
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.